You know, I did want to say this. I have appreciated the ministry of this church. You have no idea what it meant the other night to have the carolers come to my house. And the children and all of the singers. And my wife, who had a stroke 2 years ago, she hasn't been here yet. She's coming one of these days. But she was blessed, and you have been a blessing. And I'll tell you, the ministry of your worship team has been a blessing to me in a very special way. I don't feel like I'm from the outside. I feel like, you know, this is home. And I'm content, and I'm happy with what God is doing in my life. It really begins not in Tulare, where I was born in the hospital. It begins in Burbank, where I was born again. That was 1952. The context of that had to do with the way it was in the 50s, and I can't tell you all about the way it was. Some of the things that come out of the way it was, I really am ashamed to share. But the way it was had to do with the fact that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom, and this is the NIV, I selected the NIV because this is the way I felt about those days, and these days even, of whom I am the worst. I don't sugarcoat it. I wasn't a good guy. I was Romans 1, not Romans 2 and 3. Not the good, the moral, not the religious. I was chapter 1, departing and drifting away from God. And it was in those days, 1950, and this will encapsulate it, at North Hollywood High. I grew up here in the South, in the Valley, North Hollywood High. That's where I graduated from. I'm not proud of the graduation certificate that I earned because there was not a lot of good stuff that went along with it. But it was during those days that I was learning the ways of this world. I actually went after them. I actually sought them out. And to do that, to facilitate things that were going on inside of a sinner, lost and apart from God, to facilitate that, I became a member of one of the social clubs there at North Hollywood. Woo, prestige. Looking back on what the club represented and what they did, you know, looking back on it, it was really nothing more than chain carrying, hose carrying up your sleeve gang that had territory cut out and represented for it. It was not good stuff at all. But that was my days at North Hollywood, and I was learning. As a matter of fact, as we were traveling in a Chevrolet convertible, and I was being considered to join this prestigious thing, I was being asked the question, well, do you go to very many parties? Well, I said, no, not really. I haven't had any to go to except my birthday party. They said, well, we'll fix that. Well, why not? And then I was asked, as we went a little further along, this is Lancaster Boulevard down in North Hollywood, going along in this convertible, again asked, well, by the way, Dick, do you smoke? Well, no. Well, we'll teach you. And I said, well, why not? And then, of course, the question came up about alcohol and drinking, and of course, my answer was negative. I wasn't old enough, didn't have the ID that could even buy it or get it, and I didn't know where. I was kind of naive. And they said, well, we'll fix that. We'll get it for you. I said, well, why not? And then And then the questions about gambling, and I never understood why I concluded gambling was such a good thing. You know, you played with the cards and you made these bets and you put up all the money that you had earned that week. And my experience was you lost it all. That meant the next week I lived in misery of being broke again. So anyway, the question came up, and again, my response was, well, why not? This was the way of the world. This was a part of what I was going after. That was the drift. That was the direction. And it was away from the moral standards and things that had been represented in our home. Along with it came the sense of Hebrews 9:27, where it says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. I knew death was coming. And I sensed that there was something for me not good afterward. And I would have these goofy dreams at night. I say goofy, they were terrifying, because I would dream that I was either approaching or in the process of or had died. And by the way, whatever they tell you in the research about the light on the other side, I never saw it in those dreams anyway. And so I would have these dreams night after night after the activities of the day. That's the way it was. And that's the way it was for me. However, God loved that dumb teenager down there in North Hollywood, lived on Beck Avenue, just off of Satakoi, not far from Lancashire Boulevard. And God loved me enough to effect in my life a change that made a radical difference. That change came when my dad and my mom got to going to a Baptist church, and in the Baptist church heard the gospel of Christ. And in that Baptist church, mom got a real dose of what it meant to be born again. Interesting, that was the term that was floating around at that time. It was being born again. And mom represented what it meant by being born again. She got a full dose. She got converted. And she came to know the Lord in a radical way. Dad got revived. He knew the Lord, but he got revived. So revived, he became a living witness, daily witness for Christ. And one day, as I'm on my way to the show to be with the kids, why, Dad caught me on the way out, and he said, and, you know, I waited for Dad. Dad's 6'2", I'm 5'10 and a half. And he looked down on me, and he says, Dick, I have something to tell you. Now, Dad took a long time telling me what it was. He's not a preacher, never intended to be. He was a good witness for Christ. And he told me what had happened to Mom about being born again and what was going on in the church and why we were having a religious quiet time at home with the kids and the family and what it meant in his heart to know Christ and to follow him. And he just stood after telling me and sharing with me what was going on. He just stood and he waited quietly, looked me in the eye. And seeing that I wasn't going to say anything or do anything, he said, Dick, I see you're going somewhere. I just want you to know that Mom and I are praying for you. This wasn't the end. Wasn't God finished talking with me? He continued to do things. There was being picked up by a choir member at the Van Nuys Baptist Church. I was hitchhiking to meet my dad. You could do that in those days. This is the 50s. You can't do that today. Don't do it. But we did it. I got a lot of places by hitchhiking, and there was no problem. And so I was hitchhiking, and I got picked up by a choir member. He picked me up, and we got driving along, and he introduced himself, and he told me that he had been attending church at the Baptist church and so forth. And I didn't know anything about it. And then he said, by the way, he says, are you going to heaven? You know, the D.L. Moody approach. And I said, well, yeah, sure. Well, then he said, how do you know? Well, because you have to believe in Jesus and be good enough when you get there and the time comes, be good enough so that you can get in. I think I can make it. Well, he says, no, you better forget about the last part. You aren't going to make it, kid. But believe in Jesus. That's where it is. Receive him. That's what will make the difference. Well, we had reached my destination gladly. And so what he did was handed me a tract and he said, read this. It'll explain a little more. And so I took the tract and I got out of the car and I recycled it. Put it on the curb and I left it there for someone else who would appreciate it a little bit more. And I went my way and I thought, well, you know, that's the end of that. Well, it wasn't the end of that because we had Deacon Sunday coming up in the Baptist church and the deacons were going to preach. Now, not a problem because Dad was going to preach. He wasn't a preacher anyway. But he preached and the other deacons preached and we got to the last one and he's from the deep south. And I'll tell you what, this man filled with the Spirit of God, when he gave a message, it touched you all the way down. And when it came to invitation time, it was come to know Christ. And I felt, you know what, something's happening here and I didn't know what it was and God was speaking to me. And a lady in the church from all the way across to the other side came down my aisles, stood beside me, and she said as we're singing, bringing in the sheaves, as we singing that as an invitation, why, she stood there and she said, Dick, is God speaking to you? I didn't answer. And she sat right down. And then she prayed, and I could hear every word she was praying. It was a whisper, but it was a loud whisper, and I could hear it over the music. And she was praying for me to get saved and for God to talk to my heart. And then finally, the benediction came. Benediction came, and I headed for the door. And the only one that beat me out the door was my friend who was with me. He got there quicker, and we were on our way. And getting away from this religious thing. Dad didn't give up. God didn't give up. Never does. Any good. What God did was the next Friday, he brought a man that I have no idea where he's gone or what he's done. But God brought a man to come to our valley. And there at Jeffrey Barnes in Burbank, California, God's memorialized that. He's taken that Jeffrey Barnes and he put it down there at Buena Park there, and it's still there. Anyway, in that barn, we had an evangelistic meeting. And this Louis Roden had preached the gospel. Dad invited us kids to go. I was last. I was the last invitation. Dad started with the others, invited them, and then he invited me and got us all there to hear the gospel and something about Esau and something about selling his birthright and something about that was what was happening in the valley. And the young people were selling their birthright for a mess of pottage. And they were going to hell. And man, that touched me where I was living. And it dredged up the dreams that I had been having. One by one, my family, not my dad, he already knew the Lord. One by one, they went for counseling and to receive the Lord and whatever it took. And I saw Dad come and tears was in his eyes. And I thought, well, you know what? This is not between me and Dad. This is between me and God. And I said, Lord, I don't know what this means to receive Jesus. But whatever it is, here goes. I believe God met me right there. I went to understand the biblical interpretation of that in the counseling to follow, techniques that were used, that I use to this day, that were used for me, that dealt with just what God said about me, a lost sinner, and Christ dying for my sins. On the way home that night, now this is the way it was, June 26, 1952. This is how it happened. But what happened was this, that it unleashed a whole series of struggles that have gone on to this day. You think everything is, you know, pie in the sky and it's all over? No, it's not. Struggle is still there. And so it began a life of, help me, Lord. Cigarettes went out the window that night. Dumb thing to do. Why litter? But I never bought it anymore. And I never smoked them again. I'm not going to tell you how I got over the drinking thing. But I'll tell you, it was a battle. And you don't want to do it. God did it. One by one, we dealt with things as we've gone along. And you know what? I've been converted now 61 years. 61 years. And the struggles keep coming. And we keep dealing with them. I keep dealing with the flesh. It's been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ. I deal with the issues of devotion and who's going to be first in my life. And it began really with quiet time. My Bible, I buy a new one every year. Oh, what a waste. Now you can recycle them, give them to other Christians. I get a new one because I want to start fresh. This Bible I use for preachings, but it's marked up. So I don't use that for quiet time. I bought a new one. I had to get a large print this year. But I get a new one every year. I'm on my way from Genesis. I'm going Genesis, Revelation. Now, my wife does a program that is more like what this church does. I recommend that. But that's not what I do. Okay? This is the way I have my relationship with the Lord. You find your own way. And then, of course, serving the Lord, the issues of service and the struggle, it goes on. It's not an issue of, you know, just doing something for God. It is doing what God has in mind. Therefore, beloved, therefore, I beseech you, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's now, that's present, that's this moment, and it's continuous. It's the verb. It goes on, and it goes on. And you do this, you present yourself to God, make yourself available to Him, and I'll tell you what, you'll have no problem finding something to do for Him. You just get on talking terms with the captain and the Lord. And He'll fill in the gaps and lead you in the direction that you ought to go, that you may prove what is experience, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I've served the Lord a little while. And you know what? I found God to be faithful. God is faithful. He enables. He supplies. He meets our needs, and He is, to me, all that I really need.